Welcome, everyone, to the inaugural episode of RapCast, the podcast dedicated to the world of rheumatology and the inspiring individuals who strive to make a difference in this field. This is the official podcast of Rheumatology Advanced Practice Providers, also known as RAP. I am your co-host and current president of RAP, Amanda Mixon, and today we have a very special episode in store for you, one that is near and dear to my heart. RAPCast aims to provide a platform for sharing knowledge, insights, and experiences from the world of rheumatology, with a particular focus on the crucial role played by advanced practice providers. Each episode will bring you conversations with experts, thought leaders, and trailblazers who are shaping the future of rheumatology care. So whether you're a seasoned rheumatology practitioner, a student looking to enter the field, or simply someone interested in learning more about the incredible work being done in rheumatology by APPs, this podcast is for you. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and empowered. Today, we delve into the roots of our organization that has been at the forefront of educating and empowering advanced practice providers in rheumatology and shaping the future of this vital medical specialty. I have the pleasure of sitting down with the co-founder of RAP. She exemplifies the perfect fusion of exceptional intellect, remarkable kindness, and incredible vision. She is the one and only Betsy Kirshner. Thank you for joining me today, Betsy.
Well, thank you for having me, Amanda. It has been amazing watching RAP grow from its inception and infancy to being successful beyond what I ever thought possible. I'm looking forward to taking a little trip down memory lane.
That's right. Throughout this episode, we're going to delve into the origins of RAP, the challenges faced by advanced practice providers, and the impact this organization has had on the rheumatology community. We will explore our shared passion for education, professional development, and our unwavering commitment to improving patient care and outcomes. So without further ado, let's dive into the story behind the creation of RAP. Welcome to RAPCast. All right, so let's start from the beginning. Can you share the story of RAP's origin?
Sure. You were there for most of it. RAP was one of those things that sort of came together out of necessity, passion, and when it finally came together, it was one of those sort of, duh moments where everyone in rheumatology is, we always describe ourselves as a family. And so it was obvious that the APPs, PharmDs, physician assistants, nurse practitioners were playing a larger and larger role in rheumatology. When I started at the Cleveland Clinic in 2000, I was the only one. And just for example, right now between our satellites and our main campus, just in our Ohio campuses, we have 13. So, we've grown, and that sort of exemplifies what's happened across the country. So back then, back when RAP was getting started, it was obvious that our role was growing, that we needed education, that we preferred to get our education from each other, that there's great education out there. I've gone to ACR since I started in rheumatology. ACR is fantastic, but it can be overwhelming. And when you're an APP with, three meeting days a year, and you want to go and you want to get like a real package of stuff that's just for you, right? So anyway, I'm wondering, you're gonna have to keep me on track here. Several years ago, some physicians, who'd been in rheumatology for years, some APPs, nurse practitioners, PAs, nurses, medical education companies, we sort of all saw the need, and we all sort of came together, a group of us, and at first it was just going to be a one-off meeting. It was going to be, hey, let's see how we can keep new APPs in the field, because it's such a lot to learn. It's a steep learning curve, and we were seeing APPs sort of quit early, which was sad. And then you came along. Very quickly after probably the very first meeting, I said, nope, not doing this without Amanda. Mm-hmm. And it grew into more of like let's do this. Let's make this a long-term thing. Let's have an organization, because we need a home. I mean, is that how you remember it?
That's exactly how I remember it. You know, I think when we think about the vision, it was really creating a home for rheumatology APPs. And to your point, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, it was never, you know, meant to be the sole place that, you know, advanced practice providers get education, but we love learning from each other. And I really also believe that we know what we need. We know how we need it. We know what it is that we need. We have all been there coming out of school with no rheumatology experience or knowledge virtually at all. And then kind of being thrown into a clinic where you just have to start seeing patients. And, you know, a lot of us don't really know what we're doing. You know, we can, you know, when you graduate from PA school, you obviously have this basic knowledge base, this foundation of internal medicine. But, you know, in terms of these very, you know, these subspecialties, you just, you learn a lot just on your feet in the clinic. And if you work with a busy practitioner or busy physician, you know, a lot of it is on your own. And so you really have to seek out that education. And, you know, I've always found myself wanting to learn from other, you know, rheumatology APPs. And like you, when I started, I mean, there was very, very few. And I was fortunate to work with an experienced nurse practitioner who taught me a lot of what I know. And I just remember thinking, I love asking her questions. I don't feel intimidated asking her questions. There's something to that. And I think that that's really where this kind of vision of how we make this a positive impact is to really teach to other rheumatology APPs and take our experience after so many years and help, you know, the newer folks come into it. And so they can learn just like we did. So looking back, you know, how was RAP, you know, evolved, or do you think it's deviated from the original vision? And what do you think what are the unexpected challenges or potentially opportunities that have come our way?
Well, deviated is kind of a negative word. It's definitely a lot. It's way more than I ever thought it was going to be. Like I said, you know, in the beginning, I thought it was going to be a one-off meeting of let's have a brainstorming meeting with some experienced APPs and a couple newer ones and sort of see like, what are we doing wrong here? Why do they keep leaving us? Yeah. And then no, now it's this national organization. It's so much bigger and it's broader and we're going into, you know, so many more disease states and we're not just doing, you know, for the sort of the basic intro level, which we're doing a lot of, but we're also doing advanced track, pediatric specialty tracks. So it has definitely evolved from just a, hey, let's keep everyone from quitting kind of a thing to let's just keep educating to every stage of the APP development from, you know, the first minute in clinic to retirement. And beyond, let's keep them in after retirement and bring them back to teach some more. What about you? Did you like, was there any one time where like you're looking back and you're thinking, this is bigger. This is kind of bigger than what I thought it was going to be. Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, our first year it was interesting, right? Because we brought together a pretty small group of people for a meeting. And I think there were like, you know, 60 people there. And I mean, that's not a small group, but you know, it was, I remember thinking, and we had to cap it because, you know, so many people were so excited about this. And then we hit the pandemic. And so it was kind of like this pause and, you know, we had to do so much online and virtually. And then our first conference was virtually. So it was kind of, I think, hard to really grasp how big the organization would be because, you know, we're talking and we're kind of doing like what we're doing here, but, you know, you don't really know how many people you're actually reaching or that kind of thing. So I think the moment for me was our second national conference when it was in person. And, you know, you and I are standing on this stage and it's dark. And then we look out to the audience and there's just hundreds of rheumatology APPs at our conference. And I think, holy smokes, like this is a lot bigger than I think what either one of us really envisioned. And I think that was one of those aha moments of feeling a sense of both pride, but also responsibility that, you know, we need to continue to make this the best organization and continue to allow it to grow for our constituents. And now at this point, I think we have almost 1,000 rheumatology APPs, which still blows my mind. But that many people involved actively in the organization. And so, you know, again, just kind of continuing to strive to have that, that in the back of my mind that, you know, we just need to continue to grow and take care of our rheumatology APPs. Can you recall any specific moments or milestones that made you realize that RAP was becoming something bigger than we initially anticipated? You know, other than that?
Other than that, I mean, I had the same moment. I had the same live moment. A little bit, I'm trying to put the timeline together. So it definitely would have been before. A little bit before that, do you remember we did, and it kind of hard to, I mean, you know, the pandemic changed everything. But do you remember we did a pandemic, like a Zoom thing? And yes. We did it with Lenny Calabrese. And we just, it was early in the, early-ish in the pandemic. And we were like, you know what, let's just see if anybody from rheumatology just sort of wants to get on a Zoom and talk about what we've learned so far, what we've, you know, talk about this, the new Global Alliance for, you know, rheumatology was just getting started. And we were just starting to getting some information back from it. Like, let's just see if anybody sort of, you know, wants to hear what we've learned. Maybe we can learn something from them. And 700 people showed up for one Zoom meeting. And I think we only advertised it for maybe a week beforehand. Yeah.
Well, and I remember, you know, we called, Eric Ruderman came on to it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Cassie Calabrese. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we kind of just called our friends and said, hey, can you come on? And I, you know, there were so many people that were scared, and we all were scared, and not really knowing what to do for not only our patients, but for ourselves, and what was this going to mean? And yeah, that was so it was one of those very impactful moments for me too. And still, I have people come up to me and say, "I listened to your, you know, COVID podcast or COVID webinar," and I just think to myself, wow, you know, we really did something there. We made an impact, and how special that is, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like if the people really do want to come together, like people do want to learn from each other. We do, you know, have this community. And if you just put out the invitation, you know, we will come, we'll learn from each other, and we'll grow together. Continue to grow together. So it was very heartwarming. And then yeah, so that, and then the first national conference and the next national, yeah, it's just been growing ever since. But those two moments I think stand out to me where I was just like, wow.
So wow. Absolutely. And so I mean on the note of growth, you know, what do you think has been the most significant lessons we've learned along the way? I mean, and how have those lessons shaped our understanding of the organizations and its potential moving forward?
Well, let's see, lessons we've learned. I personally, I hope have become a better at being in tune with other practice environments. You know, I sort of lived in my little silo of academic practice and had a little taste of other sort of types of practice just from being in rheumatology for so long. But then being on the board with you and everyone else in RAP and hearing about our members and being on these monthly meetings where our members would join and say, well, look, I am a PA out in, you know, North Dakota, and it's just me. Like, I don't have a dermatologist to just send them to for a biopsy. You know, yeah, I don't have all these things, and you know, I need resources. So that was a huge thing for helping us do the cross specialty sort of talks, which were very helpful. We learned from, you know, our post meeting surveys. People said those were huge. And so I think one of the biggest lessons I learned was to be aware that there's so many different types of practices out there, different types of practice settings. The needs are different in those practice settings, and that rheumatology doesn't exist in a silo, you know, clinically or in terms of practices, you know. So clinically, we need to always be collaborating with our derm colleagues, our GI colleagues, our neuro colleagues, you know, especially as our medications are being used for different specialties. We can learn from each other that way too. So I would say those are probably some of the biggest ones I recall. What about you? What are the big lessons over there? All right. So first of all, how many years have we been doing this? When did RAP start? 6 years ago?
Gosh, what, 5 years ago? Four? I don't know. It's all a blur at this point, Betsy.
Because the pandemic. But we had our little inaugural, like, 12-person meeting, like, are we going to do this? And then we had our first virtual meeting. So it's like hard to say, like, well, which one are we going to count as our first meeting?
Yeah.
It's like when you're dating somebody, it's like, well, is our anniversary for our first date, or is it for, you know, anyway. But anyway, however many years we've been doing this, what about you? Like, what, in the last, call it 5 years, what are the big lessons you've come away with?
I think that through this, and as you and I have, you know, really continued to lead it, it's, for me personally, it's just really learning how to listen, I think, a little bit more, because I think that's, you know, really important, that we as leaders be able to know when it's time to not, you know, speak and really listen to what, again, our constituents need, I think. And also, I would agree, I think I learned, you know, about the different types of practices and really understanding that, yes, there are people that are out there that are doing this completely on their own with no resources, no support. And you'd love to say that that doesn't happen very often, but I think it happens a lot more than what people recognize or realize. And, you know, obviously it's lovely to have, you know, resources and be in an institution where, you know, I have a lot of people around me that I can ask questions to. But then also recognizing that there are those people that really have no one and they really need such a huge support. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that RAP can offer. I mean, for me, when I have a challenging patient, you know, I have a plethora of people I can call. I can call you. I can call, you know, Monica in New York if I have a lupus question. Of course, I have a really good supervising physician that I can talk to. And you know, I have all of these people. And then sometimes I'll meet somebody that's in, for example, Montana, you know, that just really doesn't seem to have that. And we're not, definitely not anywhere near like what I have at my fingertips. And I want every single rheumatology APP that's out there, whether they even are in academics or in a small private practice somewhere, to have those same resources that they can kind of connect with you or, you know, with some of the people that are solely seeing vasculitis or, you know, myositis or, you know, whatever it is, so that we can kind of get these experts kind of at our fingertips. And so, you know, I would agree. I think, you know, really just acknowledging that there are all types of rheumatology APPs out there, and really trying to find the way to cater to what they need and give them the resources that they need.
I agree.
So, you know, let's talk, you know, a little bit about, you know, expansion. So, you know, obviously we've already accomplished so much in the last, you know, 4 years or so. How do you envision the organization evolving in the next few years? You know, and are there specific goals or initiatives that you're excited about pursuing as we look forward into the future?
Well, sure, there's lots of goals, you know, just keeping up is one goal because everything changes so fast. You know, there's always new medications coming out, keeping up with all the journal reading, you know, that's a wrap that our medical writers have been putting out is so helpful just to sort of keep up with that. So one goal is simply just to not fall behind. And as basic as that, you know, personally and for our organization, you know, to keep our members up to date on things too. It's easy just to sort of keep recycling the same basic immunology or, you know, review of basic pathophysiology of rheumatoid arthritis, and that is needed. And we're going to continue to do that for new APPs and new grads. And, you know, we'll never give up on the basics, but we need to also keep up with, you know, the new bench science, the new translational science, and new medications, and then new information about old medications. You know, for example, what has recently happened with some of our biologics and targeted synthetics, where we're finding out maybe some new cautions that we weren't aware of when they were first released. And so we're sort of having to circle back and re-educate ourselves on that. So in terms of evolving, all right, so that's one goal is to stay up, stay up with yeah. things. Another, what are we going to broaden into? What do you think? What's that? World domination? Let's start with the world. I think honestly, Amanda, it's going to be autonomy, because I said it kind of jokingly, world domination, and it's not because of that. It's because of necessity. You know, when you look at the workforce shortage, when you look at the need, when you look at how many people have autoimmune diseases and are not getting the care they need, and the everyone is trying so hard to, it's not a turf battle at all. It's not even the beginnings of a turf battle in rheumatology. It might be in other specialties. I don't know. I don't work in other specialties. But in rheumatology, it's just trying to keep your head above water. And the lists of patients who have serious, serious illnesses and are waiting 45 days, 90 days, 100 days in places just to be seen. We need to focus on getting patients access to care. And if that's through training more APPs, and training the APPs that are there to be more autonomous, then if that's one of the things, one of the branches, you know, and the ACR can work on, you know, expanding fellowships, and that's a fantastic thing. And, you know, the medical community can work on attracting more residents to rheumatology, and that's also a fantastic thing. And we'll be to work on the APP side of things and get us out there and well-trained so that these patients don't have to wait so long and don't have to suffer.
Absolutely. You know, I think there, 100 days, there's some places that it's a year to see somebody. I mean, and so you're
so depressing.
It is. And I think you're absolutely right. I think it's moving into a direction, you know, I agree, of increased autonomy, of understanding your potential and knowing your potential and learning. I truly believe anyone can treat, you know, any rheumatology APP can treat any disease with proper training. And it's all about the proper training. And that includes physicians. It's not just, you know, us. Of course, we were very fortunate. We had really, really good mentors coming up. And I want to see that for other rheumatology APPs. So it's the collaboration with physicians, and then us really being able to pave the way, I think, for you know, for these newer APPs. And I couldn't agree more. We need more rheumatology APPs in this field. And so it's getting into programs and, you know, talking about the excitement of rheumatology. You know, it's not just the old person's arthritis, you know, and we get such little rheumatology in schools. It's kind of trying to do that. And then, because my gosh, these people need someone to see, and they can't wait months and months and months to get their initial appointment. And you know, it will just improve obviously the quality of care, which we're all looking to do at the end of the day. You know, so I totally agree with you. You know, I think as we discuss the future of RAP, you know, even more, what do you think the biggest priorities or areas of focus? I mean, you already kind of alluded to really kind of newer APPs and getting them into rheumatology. You know, is there anything else that you can think of, or initiatives or directions that, you know, we could consider exploring?
Yeah, I do. I think you and I personally, and I know when I was, you know, on the board, we talked about it. We have to face that we can't do it all, and we're going to need to branch out to other specialties in primary care and pain management and spine centers and podiatry. And not necessarily offload. It's not that we're trying to dump our specialty on everybody else, but just expand our education. So that just for what we were talking about, you know, 2 minutes ago, so the patients don't have to wait, because if the, you know, podiatry APP is adequately trained in treating tophaceous gout, then guess what? They don't have to wait 6 months to get in with the rheumatology APP. They can just get trained or get treated right there in podiatry, you know, where they already have a relationship. So, yes, I think growth wise there, like sort of spreading out and making this wonderful education that we have developed. And these, we're so lucky in rheumatology that we have, you know, a lot of, I don't know how to say this nicely, maybe nerds are kind of attracted to it. It's kind of a thinker's specialty, I think. You know, we're not like the big adrenaline, like, you know, stat. We're more like, oh, you have this symptom and that symptom, right? Let me think about that for a day or two and back to you and do some, read 7 or 8 journal articles. And I think I heard of a case that somebody, you know, so having the good news is, you know, having all these sort of thinkers and ponderers we like to teach. And so we can share that with other specialties and not just keep it to ourselves. And again, just help patients get recognized early, get their diagnoses recognized early if primary care and other specialties are aware of what of our diseases, and even get some basic treatments going. So I think we're just going to have to bite the bullet and start infiltrating other specialties and start sharing all this great knowledge that we have.
Well, and I, on that same note, I mean, I think too, I totally agree, you know, this cross collaboration, we love to learn from other specialties. And so I agree. I think the expansion to other specialties, you know, there's so much overlap in autoimmune diseases in terms of pulmonology and GI and derm and neuro, I mean, basically every single subspecialty that's out there. And so really being able to, you know, not only, you know, teach some of those specialties about the stuff that we see, but also learn from them. I think that too, from my standpoint, is a goal that I have also, so that again, we are just creating and reinforcing this ongoing education for advanced practice providers in every specialty, but obviously with the caveat of rheumatology as being at the forefront for us.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know what I would do without my hematology APP friends for when I get those crazy MGUS results and, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think everybody should sort of have the same sort of basic knowledge and understanding and access to that kind of information too. And it would allow all of us in rheumatology and the other specialties to just provide more comprehensive and better care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what we're doing here with RAP is just building a community. And I can say that it is the first time that I have really ever felt like I truly belong, you know, within this specialty. And so it's just so lovely. And it's so, and I really, you know, it's because of you, truly. And I mean that so sincerely. I wouldn't be where I'm at, you know, as a clinician, as a person, without your friendship and mentorship, Betsy. So, I mean, I think you know that. I tell you that all the time, how much I love you. But it's true. And none of us would be here without you. So,
well, none of us would be here without you, Amanda, because while I do like to sort of sit around and think big thoughts, I sit in my little introverted cave and think my thoughts, and then you know, are are the human being and a practitioner and a doer and your friend and your colleague. And RAP would never have gotten off the ground without you. So thank you for your leadership and friendship all these years. And I am so proud of what we built together with you and I and our original group of APPs. It's just been more than I ever could have imagined.
Absolutely. And I mean, we could continue this going on forever, as you and I often have. I think sometimes you think, I'm going to call Amanda about something, and then all of a sudden it's 2 hours later because we just don't stop talking. So, and I see nothing but amazing things for both of us together working together. Well, I mean, I think, you know, this has been so fun, but I do think it's time to, you know, probably wrap up. So, thank you so much, Betsy, you know, the co-founder of RAP, an amazing person and truly one of my best friends, for being here.
Thank you, Amanda. It has been fun reflecting on the growth of RAP. And I am so excited to see how it's going to continue to evolve going forward.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the first episode of RAPcast, where we had the pleasure of delving into the captivating origin story of RAP. It's been such an incredible journey so far, and we're still young as our third in-person national conference is happening this September. I expect RAP to continue growing and finding ways to educate and empower rheumatology APPs and beyond. I think I speak for Betsy here when I say I hope this organization improves all of our members' lives and helps them provide the best patient care possible. Be sure to stay connected and be the first to hear about our upcoming episodes by following our podcasts. Don't forget to explore the RAP ecosystem further, download the innovative RAP ACE app for enhanced experience, visit our informative website at rap.org, and you can also connect with us on social media. Twitter is at RoomAPP and Instagram at RoomAPP for the latest updates, insightful content, and exciting announcements. Together, let's embark on a journey of knowledge and empowerment for advanced practice providers in rheumatology. Thanks for listening.